Genesis chapter 29, verse 21. And Jacob said unto Laban, Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place, and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah his maid for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said unto Laban, What is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? And wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, It must not be so done in our country, to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also, for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so, and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel his daughter to wife also. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher calling all Canadians back to the Bible. Paul the Apostle's sheer shock that professing Christians would be turned away from the true gospel caused him deep alarm. He couldn't have been more flummoxed. It was so opposite to reason and so opposite to liberty in the gospel. Hear the apostle's own words. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth? There is no other word for this than stupid. It was so drop-jaw ridiculous that Paul accused these Galatians of losing their senses. Then he asked them, Who hath bewitched you? To Paul, it was as if they were under a spell to dumb them down or numb them from the reality of the gospel. He also states that it was not lack of clarity on his part, for he preached Christ very graphically, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified before you. Literally, the gospel was placarded before them. They could not have missed it. Therefore, they could never say, But we didn't get it. They got it, all right, but the shocker was that they turned away from it to another gospel that didn't even compare. They were losers. This is shocking, but sadly, it is repeated in Canada every day, if not every week. People who know their Bibles and grow up on the true gospel have settled for chaff that should choke them. To true Christians who love the gospel, and especially gospel preachers, this is so grievous. It is sickening. Surely not the sons and daughters of the church, not the boys and girls who sang the gospel choruses and learned their memory verses like John 3:16 or Ephesians 2 verse 8, which says, For by faith are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. How could they fall for the lie of another gospel? But I am afraid that this is the sad story across this country. A generation has been bewitched with a spirit of error and denial. Sadly, preachers' kids can be the hardest to turn to the gospel of Christ. There is nothing they don't know, yet they wallow in worldly religion that is not the gospel at all. Paul had one further question for these Galatian gospel betrayers. He asked them in chapter 3, 2, "Received ye the Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, "by the works of the law?" Was ever a man converted to faith in the Lord Jesus as Lord and Redeemer by Levitical ceremonies? The answer is no, never. It is impossible, for those things are the foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus, while Jesus is the fulfillment of them. There is no more circumcision or fuss over food and drink. The kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. All those ceremonies are over. Now, since Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, a new and living way is opened up for God's people. So, don't be fooled. Don't be led to things that deny the gospel. Stand fast in the liberty of salvation to the full, by faith alone, by grace alone, through Christ alone. Do you get that? To miss this fact, you are leaving God's wisdom to become a fool. Don't do it. I beg you, come in faith to the cross of Christ and be saved through saving faith in His precious blood. That's the gospel. Now, stay tuned as we move on now to our message today, and we are looking at Jesus, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Did you know that God is able to guide us into the right place at the right time to meet the right person? Well, He did it for Abram's servant when he was sent to seek for a wife for Isaac. And in our story today, He did it again for Jacob this time when he went to seek a wife in the land of Syria, in Haran. And the Lord led him to a well. Now Jacob arrived at that well, and it was being used to water several flocks. Wells were meeting places where people talked and where they got to know each other. Jacob introduced himself to some men at the well, and he asked them, "Do you know a man called Laban?" And they said, "Oh yes, we know him very well. In fact, his daughter is coming right now with her sheep to water them right at this well." Aha! We must marvel at God's guidance, for as soon as Jacob arrived in the land of the east, he was truly in the right place at the right time to meet the right person. And of course, that was the young woman who was to become his wife. Now, as soon as Rachel came near to the well with her father's sheep, Jacob, he offered to draw water and to give them all the water that they needed. And by this, it was easy for him then to introduce himself to Rachel and to tell him that he was Jacob, the son of Rebekah, her auntie. Can you imagine? And so off she ran to tell her father Laban about Jacob being out there at the well. And Laban, what did he do? Well, immediately he went running off to meet with Jacob. And in those days they would give a hug and a kiss, and it would all be very courteous. And then Laban brought Jacob back to their home, introduced him to his family, and it was a beautiful and a wonderful meeting. Now that was really a very sacred moment when God brought Jacob to the right place at the right time to meet the right person. And Christians can expect God to do these things for them, because God is a God of design. Nothing happens by mistake. And if you are in the center of God's will, praying for God's guidance, you will also enjoy such marvelous moments when the Lord will lead you in a very definite way. Now, after meeting Jacob, as I said, Rachel ran off to tell her dad, and he was brought home. And Jacob stayed in the home of Laban for one full month. And during that time, he was a hard worker. He helped Laban in every way that he could. And I want to assure you, it greatly paid off. And it's always a good thing to be a hard worker, to use your hands and use your talents and your time doing things that will help others, because it really will open up doors of opportunity, as it did for Jacob. And Laban said to him at the end of that month, he said to him, "What shall I give you for your wages?" Well, that was Jacob's moment of opportunity. He had his eye upon Rachel. Now, Laban had two daughters. The eldest was Leah, the youngest was Rachel. And Rachel was the one that God led him to at the well, and she was also very beautiful. And so his heart was set upon her. And this was the moment that he took to ask Laban, "May I have Rachel to be my wife?" And Laban said, "Yes, if you're willing to work for her for 7 years." Well, that was some deal. But for the love of Rachel, those years seemed just as days, because his heart was set, full of delight, pondering the future life that he was going to have with Rachel. Now, this is where the story becomes interesting, because at the end of those 7 years, Jacob said to Laban, "I've served my 7 years. It's time now for you to give me your daughter Rachel to be my wife." And Laban said, "Yes, it is." And so he called a family feast. It was like a marriage feast. And there was rejoicing and celebration. And it was a happy time for everyone. But Laban deceived Jacob. Instead of giving him Rachel, his youngest daughter, he gave to Jacob Leah, his older daughter. And she must have been wearing a veil, because Jacob doesn't seem to notice. And it wasn't until the next morning that he protested to Laban, "Why did you give me Leah? It was Rachel that I served for 7 years." And Laban, well, he made kind of an explanation. You might call it an excuse. And he said, "Well, it is not customary for a father to marry off his youngest daughter first. It's our custom that the oldest daughter be married first." And so poor Jacob had to accept that. But he said, "If you work for another 7 years, then I will give you Rachel to be your wife." Well, in fact, they were married a week later. That was probably the length of the marriage feast. And he still had to work a further 7 years for his wife, Rachel. Now, That was a terrible deception. And that deception was a harsh reminder to Jacob that lies hurt. They do a lot of damage. Now you remember how Jacob had been caught up in a scheme of lies to his own father Jacob that he might gain the blessing? He had taken the advice of his scheming mother and he had gone to his father and pretended to be Esau. Well, now this was boomeranging back on him and it was now hurting Jacob greatly. You see, sin always hurts. Lies and deceit are terrible things and they should be totally repented of by every Christian. And we should only speak the truth at all times. And so now, Jacob had two wives. He had Leah and he had Rachel. And in total, Jacob had 12 children. Now listen to the list. He had 6 children that were born to Leah, 2 more that were born to Leah's handmaiden Zilpah, 2 children were born to Rachel, they were Joseph and Benjamin, and then another 2 were born to Rachel's handmaiden, Bilhah. Now note that Rachel was always his favorite. His special love was set upon Rachel. And therefore, her 2 sons, Joseph and Benjamin, they were Jacob's favorites. And you only have to think about Joseph wearing the coat of many colors. And by that means, Jacob was displaying his tremendous love for Joseph. And of course, Benjamin, well, he was the baby in the family. And he was also treated very special. Now, do you see how the Bible records people's sins as well as their strengths? The Bible always gives a true picture of people's words and of their deeds. And the Lord Jesus said that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. That's in Matthew 12, verse 36. And did you know that God is recording your life? Do you know what sins He has on record against you? And that when you tell a lie or deceive or break the law of God in any other way, God sees it, God records it. And on the judgment day, you will give account for every wrong word and for every wrong deed. And if you want to know your true state before God, just read the Bible. Because the Bible is like a mirror. When you look in the mirror, you see a true picture of yourself. Now, it is inverted. It's changed around a little bit, right, left, and right, and all that. But that is a true state of you. Your cleanliness or your dirt. Your shagginess or your nicely groomed appearance. That mirror tells no lies. And the Bible will give you the truth of the real you, who you are, and how you stand in the sight of God. And so God has recorded everything about you. And that's why the stain of sin needs to be washed away. And do you know that only the blood of Jesus is powerful enough to wash you and make you as white as snow? Now, this is the good news of the gospel. I want you to listen to the words of the Lord. And here is the Lord speaking. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's Isaiah 1:18. And I want to preach on that text in the service this morning. And you need to know that your sins can be washed away. Though you may be guilty of terrible sin, you can be made as white as snow in God's sight. And I want you to think of Martin Luther's illustration of the beautiful cleansing and white righteousness the Lord Jesus gives to every one of his people. He said that Jesus' righteousness is like a fresh fall of snow upon a dunghill. Now, the dunghill is where all the filth of the animals is piled up, and it's nauseating just to look at it. But when it's covered in a fresh fall of snow, it looks so pristine and pure. When God looks upon a sinner that has been washed in Jesus' blood, you appear in God's eyes as white as snow. Now that's the wonderful, wonderful good news of the gospel. Now I have to ask you, how do you stand before God? When he looks upon you, does he see the black sin in your life? Or does he look upon you and see the white, pure, clean righteousness of Jesus that makes you as white as snow? Now that's possible when you are washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. When you put your faith on Jesus' death at the cross, the blood that he shed, the price he paid, when you trust in that and say, Lord, wash me, then you have the assurance that you stand before God as white as snow. And if you do that today, you will know the joy of being in the right place at the right time to meet the right person. Because every Christian can say of their salvation, I was in the right place, I was there at the right time, and I met the right person, the Lord Jesus. That's every Christian's testimony. And I want it to be your testimony too. Isn't that a beautiful example of our salvation? The snow covering the dunghill. It is very vivid, and it is an accurate illustration of how the righteousness, the perfect life, the works, and the fulfilling of the law conducted by the Lord Jesus provides a righteousness for the Christian. And so this text in Isaiah 1:18 is really accurate. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Here we have a tremendous gospel text, and it's an invitation to you. Come now. You are pleaded with. Here is the condescension of the Lord right down to human level. Come now. Let us reason. Now, why would the God of heaven even begin to so reason with sinners who are so guilty, so covered in their own iniquity, that he would gather them in to the family of God and be saved? Why? Well, there is no answer to the why, but praise God, there is an answer to the truth of it. Jesus came into this world to save sinners. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And with all the grace throbbing in the heart of God, this is his gospel plan, his way of lifting sinners out of the dunghill and bringing them on to glory. And so today, I invite you, in Jesus' name, to come and have your guilty scarlet sins washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And the extra exhortation here is, if ye be willing and obedient. Now, you have to ask yourself, what is your choice? What choice are you going to make? Are you going to continue as a rebel to God, as one that is guilty in his sight? Or are you going to take the wonderful remedy of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus and be right with God? May the Lord call you. Come now, he says. He pleads with you to make the right decision and be washed, that you might be saved. Please join with me in prayer. Father in heaven, we praise thee today for the liberty of the gospel to set sinners free from the bondage of their guilt and to cleanse them from the iniquity of sin. We rejoice in the power of Jesus' precious blood, the sacrifice that he made that is able to turn God's wrath away and reconcile the guiltiest sinner to the heart of God. O Father, hear prayer today that you may draw sinners and lead them to salvation. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for the atoning blood. We ask your blessing upon each one. We pray for your favor. We ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.